futuro. Hello, dear family. Welcome to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela, and it's 2022, and it's the first ITT sound off of the year, Maria.
I know, and we're supposed to be like, hey, what's up, fam? Like, isn't this great? It's 2022. What's up, what's up? And we're like, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the tone, because we're going to focus on what just happened, right? The 1 year anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, what I call an attempted coup d'etat, when a violent mob of Trump supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol and attempted to overthrow the election. Mm. Obviously, like everybody, you know, I kept on looking at my son because we were together that day. We were working close together. We had the computer with everything, the live feed. And yeah, and just like looking at him and just like, remember what was happening. Remember, this is when we saw the body being carried out. Remember, this is when we looked at each other and said, okay, we're canceling all the rest of the meetings. And just getting really scared, calling my daughter in New York, and just that same feeling around 9/11, like, just like, oh my God, everything is out of control and nothing is safe.
Yeah.
And knowing also, Julio, that you and I and our team and so many others had been saying, this can happen.
Yeah. It's one of those like feelings like you wish it didn't happen, but you kind of knew it was going to happen. And then it finally was, you know, it metastasized and you see it visually. And it was one of those moments that will forever be etched in American history. But of course, in this America now, where everything is divided, it's just really tragic how this is being viewed and how it's being like toned down by certain people on the right, and being said that anyone that brings this up is just like being overly dramatic, you know, overly reactive to this. It was, you know, it was just a day.
I mean, there have been at least 9 deaths in connection with the attacks, including police officers who died by suicide after January 6th. You know, I think about the interview that I did with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
You know, who talked about, like, she was visibly traumatized. This was like almost 6 months afterwards, because like they were coming after her. But Black Lives Matter protesters of every race taking to the streets in protest, which is guaranteed under our democracy, nonviolent protest, they were a threat. You know, that's, I think, the gaslighting. You know, we have to remain vigilant. It's a call to action to all of us to take our participation and our role in democracy that much more seriously. I feel like we cannot diminish what has happened and our role and what we have to do. And that's very personal, right? So, you know, we're calling this, you know, whether or not it's an attempted coup.
Let's just call it what it is. This is our show. Can we call it an attempted coup and move on?
Well, and this is where it gets really interesting, because, you know, most of the mainstream media have continued to refer to January 6th as a riot. In fact, even in the New York Times on Friday morning, it was referred to as a riot.
Okay.
And yeah, the Republicans are like, can you just all relax? So our intrepid producer, Lisa Salinas, spoke with Renee Graham. She's an opinion columnist and associate editor with the Boston Globe, Julio's hometown paper. She's a frequent guest of our show.
Friend of the show.
And she talked about the language used to describe January 6th. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
I mean, a lot of people have balked at that word, insurrection. And I think they've balked for a number of reasons. I think one reason is, you know, I was watching CNN and Wolf Blitzer was saying, what we witnessed at the Capitol is something we expect to see in third world countries. Now, beyond the obvious offense of that comment, it's the idea that somehow the United States is above that. We don't have insurrections, right? We don't do that kind of thing. So when you acknowledge that, you're saying something about this country that a lot of people don't want to admit. But also when you say insurrection, you're talking about, you know, this violent incursion, not just into the Capitol, but into democracy itself. And what does that mean long term for this country? So I think it's a word that on one hand terrifies a lot of people because it says that we've turned a corner, which is really frightening to think about. But it also says something about the nature of why it started, who was behind it, and what it really means, that this was a full frontal attack on our democracy. And I think when you consider it in those terms, it also means, in my mind, that it's not over.
So Renee and I were talking about this because I actually, having lived through, for example, like the Sandinista revolution, an insurrection of the left.
Yeah.
You know, it's like to be insurrection, I don't know. Maybe I really have to ponder this. Because there's something that is...
noble?
Yes, a taking back of power, exactamente. A taking back of power in a form that you are kind of forced to have to do. And so I think insurrection is giving them too much power. A coup d'etat is something that I guess generationally works for me because, you know, my first coup d'etat that I witnessed that was a successful one was September 11th, 1973 in Santiago, Chile, when the United States helped to play a role in the taking down of Salvador Allende, who was elected. So coup d'etat, a coup, golpe de estado in Spanish, which is really the one that we should be using.
A self-coup, which is autogolpe.
Un autogolpe.
Which basically a self-coup is when this person in power still wants to remain in power. So then he brings in his people. And that's basically the argument that can be made about Donald Trump, Maria, because he was still in power. He was still president at the time. And I'll just say one last thing about this that's been really bugging me is just how anyone that brings out the word coup or self-coup is already immediately painted as a whack job. Like, we're crazy, Maria. Like, why would we even bring this up? But in the end, this is actually what we've experienced as Latin Americans, as people that have grown up and followed the history of our region, that this is what happens. And the fact that the United States, God forbid, could never experience this because we're above ourselves.
I guess I'm going to have to get in touch with Wolf and see if I can come on his show to have the conversation, because for him to say that's what happened in third world countries, and I'll just be like, yo, Wolf, we don't say it like that anymore. But more to say, so it can happen with Black people or brown people or Spanish-speaking people.
Right.
But it can't happen with white folks, white men. And that's why I wrote that tweet, you know, which is when I was thinking about mob violence and the use of the term mob. And I was, mob violence has always been, really has always been a white phenomenon. And it started, people got upset with this. I was like, it started with the Pilgrims.
Well, you just look at like the lynching of Black people in the history of this country, or Mexicans and indigenous. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Mob violence is white.
Therefore, the resistance to call it those things, because it is really hard to be self-critical and say, yo, our people. And yeah, we would expect more from our media colleagues.
I can't even get into the media coverage because it's like, you know, just call it a damn coup and move on.
Yes.
So listen, we also want to talk about true accountability for those involved, because let's be real, it's not really happened. You know, this House Select Committee that's investigating January 6th is at risk of being dismantled if Republicans gain a House majority after the midterm elections. That's very likely. I mean, that is a very likely scenario. And that's why, you know, this is being dragged out, because all Republicans need to do is win the midterms and all this is gone. Right?
Oh my God, that's where it gets scary. Yeah.
Think about it. The committee has sent over 50 subpoenas to Trump allies, rally organizers, interviewed hundreds of witnesses. And then on Wednesday, Attorney General Merrick Garland gave an update on the Department of Justice investigation into the attempted coup. I'm just going to keep saying it. I mean, it's our show, Maria. It's our editorial standards. Anyway, Garland said that over 700 people have been arrested and charged for their roles in the attack, and that his department remains committed. You know, my department remains committed to holding any perpetrators accountable. So far, only about 10% of those people. So, you know, 700 people arrested, 10% have been actually sentenced. And let's be honest, the sentences haven't been that dramatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not being sentenced for treason here.
Mm-hmm.
So President Biden, hello, finally gave the speech I think he should have given on January 20th of 2021. He gave it Thursday morning, where he talked about democracy and denounced the former president, he who shall not be named. I mean, he was referring to Donald Trump and Trump's attempts to overturn the election results. So let's take a listen from that speech.
He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president. Defeated by a margin of over 7 million of your votes in a full and free and fair election. There is simply zero proof the election results are inaccurate.
Maria, imagine if President Biden was this forceful the moment he came into office. Just think about that. Just let me ask you that question, because everyone's like, oh, no, he's the president now. This speech is amazing. This is what needs to be said. It's been a year, Maria. I just wanted to get your thoughts about what President Biden said.
I think part of the obsession is not only the worry of what happened and how it's being seen, but I woke up in a sweat, you know, thinking about the midterms, thinking about, you know, what Ted Cruz said, which is we're going to try to impeach him. And then thinking about President Biden and the Democratic Party. And before I talk about the Democratic Party, can we just say that seditious conspiracy might be a charge that people could consider looking at? And that seditious conspiracy was actually used to charge the Puerto Rican nationalists and independentistas?
I love the fact that you brought this up. Thank you.
There is a way to charge the people and absolutely attempt to hold them responsible.
Yeah.
But to pivot now to the issue of the Democratic Party and Biden, which is the Democratic Party and President Biden need a very distinct narrative about what's happening here. And you and I have been saying you need to be a fighter. You need a narrative. And instead, you know, it's at this point when they're attempting to really create a forceful narrative.
Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter said, oh, the Democratic Party for whiteness always stands in the way of them doing what they really need to do. And that's why a lot of people will say it's great, but is it a little late? And is it still too little?
I think it's too late.
This is the panic, because this is where it comes back to our listener, because I was seriously like, so what do we do?
What do we do?
We keep on doing our work, right? Because we have been facing this, Julio, since George Wallace, Nixon, et cetera, et cetera. We keep on doing our work, but the people, y'all need to be registering to be working as poll workers, to be running for your, you know, local board of education, for local positions, becoming somebody who is registering people to vote, people power. We will not be gaslit, dear listener. We're going to end by talking about the state of our democracy after this attempted coup, or, you know, a perpetual state of attempted coup. Because they're still trying. And it's something that we've been talking about here on ITT since the very beginning. Since January 6th of last year, extremist groups have changed their tactics. Recently, a report by Vice News, it was published on Wednesday, found that the Proud Boys, this neo-fascist group founded in 2016, have moved away from the national stage to the local stage, including making appearances at school boards, city council meetings, galvanizing around issues such as critical race theory, vaccines, mask mandates. We're going to go back to that interview with Renee Graham from the Boston Globe, who also talked about the future of our democracy and what these extremist groups are doing all around us.
We saw this in 2020 when far right figures were going after health commissioners because of mask mandates and other COVID protocols. And eventually, if you get badgered enough, if you're threatened enough, if enough bad things start to happen to you and you're in a position, you leave. But then you get replaced by one of their true believers who's going to give them what they want. And that's where the insurrection, in my mind, is continuing. The funny thing about January 6th, in a way, is a lot of us woke up that morning in complete glory because John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock had won in Georgia, which, you know, theoretically gave the Senate to the Democrats. Like, no one saw that coming. No one believed that could happen, except for the people in Georgia who worked so hard to make it happen. You know, those Black women like Stacey Abrams and Latosha Brown, who worked so hard to make that happen. I know that they aren't giving up. I know that, you know, they are no ways tired in this. And, you know, that's where my hope comes from. But it can't just be them. You know, it has to be everyone, because it's not just Georgia. It's every single state. It's what's going to happen with every election come the fall and what's going to happen beyond that. So if there is a way to rally Democrats who might feel really demoralized at this point for any number of reasons, that there's still a chance. You can still try to save this democracy. You know, and democracy's never been whole, let's face it, but what we have, we can't afford to lose. You can't get a more perfect union if you don't have a union. And that's really what's at stake.
Look, it's what you just said, Maria. Can't just be them. But right, this is the problem that people really have not understood, is that there is a machine out there rooted in the far right. It has its own media amplification. It's connected across social. you know, it's the reason why they're able to neutralize any discussion of January 6th being an attempted coup, because it's very easy to discredit anyone that brings up those voices. I mean, when you have someone like Ben Shapiro with over 3.5 million Twitter followers giving his white boy takes, and, you know, he's the smart white man, that gives people cover, right? Because we've allowed the media of the United States, and I'm talking about the sort of the mainstream political news media that is, has always tried to equate this on equal sides, has allowed this to happen. So we shouldn't be surprised that we continue to see sort of this normalization that has always been there. You know what I mean? Like, it's, this is part of America.
You know who came into my mind right now?
Yeah.
Our friend Mike German. Because everybody sees all of those people who were there as your weird uncle and now your weird aunt, right? And it's like, you know, they're not, they're just, and it's like, no.
Yeah.
Our hair is on fire and our democracy is being attacked. And I think it's because, you know, it's really hard to be that critical of your aunt and your uncle. And when you're running the news media and you're the editor in chief and you're going to see them as normal people
who
are just a little upset, as opposed to, again, if you were out there, if you are black or brown, right, you know, and you're protesting in defense of black lives, then you are seen as a threat.
Correct.
That's why every single listener to this show is really playing a part in trying to hold on to our democracy. I know I'm being all like, but ultimately it is about that. Like, if
play the American music, dun, 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 you know, it's like you're gonna. I just see you holding like a big, like, yeah, a beacon of liberty, like my little Mexican friend, like on the mountain.
Because again, Julio, it is within our power. That's why I'm like, go run for that school board position. You better be going to that local meeting. You better be doing that thing. You gotta do it because it's about you. You better be registering your neighbor to vote or be having. It's about you doing it and taking it seriously, because Julio and I, we take this, and our whole team, with so much love, we take this seriously.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Uno, dos, tres.
And remember, dear listener, go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. It really helps us. We love it, actually. Not just helps, it helps our heart, helps our soul, helps us with numbers. Also, remember that you can listen to In the Thick on Pandora, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts on. Check us out on the web at inthethick.org. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show, and like us on Facebook and tell. It's another thing that you can do. Tell your friends and family to listen. It's an important part of our democracy. In the Thick is produced by Noor Saudi, Harsha Nahata, Lisa Salinas, and our fellow Sarah Hershander, with editorial support from Mike Sargent and Charlotte Mangin. Our audio engineering team is Stephanie LeBeau, Julia Caruso, Gabriela Baez. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Thanks to Raul Perez for recording me with motorcycles, helicopters, birds, and all right here in Punta Cana. The music you've been listening to is courtesy of Nacional Captain CZK Records. See you on our next episode. No te vayas, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye, y'all. See ya. Stay safe.
This is really weird. This is very...
Recording from the Dominican Republic, where there's a helicopter convoy on Friday, January 7th, is Maria Hinojosa.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.